Welcome to church, friends. Is anybody excited to be here? Come on. Hey, if I haven't met you yet, as Kevin was saying, my name is Chris. My wife, Angela, and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved City Church, and we love leading alongside our two kids, Drew and Ariana, who are no longer really kids. They're young adults, but we love it. And as Kevin was saying, just such a great team of people here who are serving a vision and mission greater than any one person. I love this team. We call it the Grow Team because we're invested in growing God's great church. Is there anyone that can give me an amen on God's great church? We're moving it forward. We're called to the city to make a difference, and I'm just excited about what God's doing. And so if you're bored and you need something to do, jump on a team. We're going to talk about some of that tonight anyways. But let's help move church forward in making a tangible impact, an eternal impact in our city. So we're just so grateful that you're here tonight. Welcome tonight. And today we're continuing in week three of our sermon series called Beyond the Shadow of Doubt. That's what we're talking about tonight. Doubt is something that we have all experienced, friends, and we will continue to experience again and again and again throughout our entire life. And here, you know, doubt is something that requires thinking. It often tends to lend to overthinking in your life, which then can lead to worry, it can lead to anxiety. So I believe it's worth talking about. Do you believe it's worth talking about? Is there anyone in the room who's ever suffered through doubt? Ever experienced a doubt? I know the rest of you didn't put your hands up, you're lying. So just get over it. We've all experienced doubt in our life. And this is the house of God. I don't want any lightning strikes tonight, right? All right, just kidding. But hey, I'm taking this serious. At the same time, doubt is something we've all have experienced. And because I know a lot of people in the room are dealing with worry and anxiety, I want to equip you and I want to offer you some tools so that you can champion doubt in your life. The theme verse that we've taken our messages from this famous passage of Jesus praying. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to do some swiping with your thumbs or some flipping with your thumbs. I encourage you to take some notes too, because you're only going to remember what you write down anyway. So take some notes, because here's what I really want you to do. I really want you to be impacted for more than just an hour with what God's trying to say to you tonight, all right? So take some notes. That'll definitely help you remember what God is saying to you. Here's the famous passage of Jesus praying to the Father for his church. Whose church? His church, amen. Praying for his followers before he was cruelly murdered on the cross in John 17 and 7, out of the Message paraphrase, Jesus says these words in prayer. He says, they know now. Say it with me. They know now, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Say it with me. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, that everything, say everything, you gave me, God, is firsthand from you. Can you say everything comes from God? Comes from God. Amen. Everything is came from you firsthand, Father. Father, everything I have is from you. And it's such a posture and an attitude of humility. Like, this is the knowledge and posture that Christ prayed for over his church, that you and I and millions of Jesus followers would down the ages and centuries that we haven't even been a part of would know beyond the shadow of a doubt, convinced that Jesus came from God. Jesus is God, that he is the full representation and manifestation of God in humanity, in flesh, that he actually gave his life for a sacrifice for his church, and he paid for his church in his own blood. Like, this is beautiful what Jesus has done for you and I. And then the bride, the church, the mother of the saints. Oh, I don't think you're hearing me tonight. There's something special up here in this house that God died for, and he loves you, and he loves his church, and he wants to do something so significant, not just through you, but also through you and through every person that you come in contact with, because God's put you and planted you where you live, work, play, and study for a reason, and he's calling you tonight. Hey, I know you've doubted. I know you've struggled through some things called doubt, but we're going to work through this. And he recruits us to a mission that's far greater than any one person. And I love what he calls us to, bringing hope and healing to a broken world that desperately needs Jesus, desperately needs him. Yet how often do you find yourself worried? How often do you find yourself anxious? How often do you find yourself afraid or doubting that God's going to come through and show up in your circumstances? I know I've been there. Every week there's probably a place in my life where I doubt God, if I was to be real honest with you tonight. And so that's how honest I want to be with you, because that's how honest I want you to get tonight. There's things in my life I know that I need God's help. I know that I need his leadership. I know that I need his Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. So I get it. I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt for it. I do doubt God occasionally. But more often, if I'm honest, I also find myself doubting myself. Anybody else relate? Have you ever doubted yourself? Yes, we've all been there. I often doubt myself because I know the me that you don't see, actually. I know the sound of my own voice inside of my head that says things that are contrary to what God has actually said about me. And you've probably recognized that in your life, too, when there's a voice in your head that actually contradicts what Scripture says about you. Have you ever seen that before? Have you noted that before? It's not the things that are not always kind that you might hear in your head or even speak over your own life, not always encouraging, not always positive. Hey, does anybody else want to get honest with me tonight? Like, I know that not everything that's going on up in here is actually aligning with God's heart for my life. Nudge your neighbor, say, I'm going to get honest tonight. Nudge your neighbor, say, I'm going to get honest tonight. Nudge your second choice and say, will you get honest tonight? Will you get honest tonight? Like, I know my insecurities. I know my own critical voice, my thoughts. I know that sometimes I actually dislike myself. And sometimes it's as simple as, like, I don't like what I said or how I said it. There's some critical people in this room too, right? Just get honest with me. And I know that God also knows all my faults, right? My weaknesses, and probably knows some of the things that I don't call faults that he would probably say, that one too, right? And that makes me wonder sometimes, honestly, like, I know he loves me, but why would God choose to use someone like me? I know God loves me, but why would he want to work through me? Why would he choose someone like me to work in and through someone that does those things and has said those things and has acted like that and said that? And so if you've ever doubted yourself, if you ever felt insecure, if you ever felt incredibly spiritually inadequate or insufficient, this message is for you tonight. And for all the rest of you, those of you who are super confident and got the badges for it, those of you who are perfectly and completely assured in your life, like you be the best of the best, right? The cream of the crop, those who graduated top of the class kind of thing, voted most likely to succeed in your life, those ones. There's someone of you in the room too, hockey team captain maybe, top awarded gymnast in the room that never doubted and has a bazillion Instagram followers. For the rest of you, the good news is God can still use you too. I promise you he can. It's just that I've got this for you on a slide for you. I want to write this down. It's just this, that God specializes in using those who know they need his presence and need his power in order to do his purpose. God specializes in using those who know I need his presence. I can't do it without you, God. Just you, Jesus. And God, I can't do this on my own power, but I absolutely need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life in order to accomplish your greater purposes, God, because my purposes are so small and insignificant. I think they're big dreams, God, but I know you've got bigger dreams for me, God, and I need your presence and I need your power to accomplish your purposes in my life. So today we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about facing your insecurities, and I'm certain that this message will speak to you. This theme is going to resonate with you because it does with me. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our insecurities. We all have our flaws, and we need to know how to face our insecurity. And that's the title for tonight. How do you face insecurity in your life? And honestly, there are times where I think, like, if God really wants something done, surely, God, you can find someone else way better than me to do it. It's the reality. You might even feel like, I don't even know a lot about the Bible. I don't feel that I'm prepared to share my faith. I don't feel comfortable praying out loud, let alone leading a city group, right? Or I don't know a lot of spiritual things in my life, and I don't read the Bible all the time. Like, I fall short. And those are the things that others see, but then there are things that you know about you that nobody else knows, and the stuff that you know that you've done wrong or that you continue to do wrong, and it's the people that you know you've hurt, and it's the people that you have fallen short with even, right? Your partners in crime even, right? There's a few of those too. And when you begin to think of those things, you might begin to think, why would God want to work through me? Why would God use me to advance his great church with all this dysfunction in my life, with all this brokenness in my life? His plan and his purposes. But here's what I want to remind you of tonight. Paul said this about you in Ephesians 2 in chapter 10. Say it with me. We are God's masterpiece. Say it again. We, say it with confidence. We are God's masterpiece. Some of you are just like, I checked out because I don't believe that at all. But I'm God's masterpiece. Say it like you believe it now. Who are you? You are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. Friends, you are God's handiwork, God's masterpiece. Like you are created for good works that he planned way before you were even born. Now the word masterpiece comes from the original Greek word in the text poema. It's where we get the word poetry, and the definition of the word is a creation with a designated purpose, a workmanship, a masterpiece. Like, hear this, you are God's poetic statement in the earth. You are God's masterpiece. God wants to say something through you. God wants to show off in your life because you are God's handiwork, you are God's masterpiece, and you are designed to be a statement of who God is. You are beautifully and wonderfully created, and you are valuable, and you are custom designed for a distinct set of purposes, friends. See, like it was God who gave you the unique personality that you have. And I know some of you are like me, you're pretty unique, right? You were made with the right kind of skin, the right hair texture, the right height, with the right Scottish nose like me, and with all the right kind of things that you need to do the works that you were created in advance, that you were created in advance for. You were even born at the right time to do the good works that he created you in advance for you to do. Like, you are his masterpiece. He planned these wonderful things for you to do. So hear me, when the devil comes knocking on your gray matter, on the door of your heart, friends, and hear me, friends, when he's going to come knocking, it's not if, it's when the devil comes knocking on your brain, come knocking on your door of your heart, and the devil starts to tell you, hey, Chris, God can't use you. Look at what you've done. Look what you're doing. Look, you're such a hot mess, honey. Like, come on, you're not any value to God. Who do you think you are? This, friends, is what you got to do. You got to shout back. I know I was a mess, devil, but I ain't a mess anymore. I tell you, I am not. I know I was hurting people. I know I was harming myself, and I know I was a mess. Oh, someone's got to hear me tonight. Honey, you think you might be a mess, but you are actually God's masterpiece designed for such great works that God wants to do through you, and you keep looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're sucking in your stomach, and you're doing all your whatever poses, or in your right clothes, and the right drip, or whatever, and the right friends, and God's saying, hey, you are my masterpiece. Nips and tucks however you want, but you were actually created and designed in my image, and you're beautiful, and you're loved, and I care for you, and I actually like you, and I want to be with you, and I want to do life and ministry with you. Someone's got to hear me tonight. It's more like, I know, but God. If it wasn't for God, I was blind, but now I see. My heart was hard, but now it's been softened. I have my life turned upside down by Jesus, and I am believing and I am trusting that I am God's masterpiece, that I'm his masterpiece. Devil, it ain't over. And some of you just got to give a little victory dance in there every once in a while. So here's a question for you. Who does God most often use? Who do you think God most often works through? If you were to review scripture carefully, there are three different types of people God chooses to do his will, to exercise his will. The first one, I have this for you too. I want you to write this down. God uses the unlikely. Okay? God uses the unlikely. You might remember the story. If not, we're going to look at it in scripture in a moment. God told one of the ancients, Samuel, who was a prophet, and God told Samuel to appoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel was a little bit confused about the whole process, but let's look in scripture in 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 to 7. When they arrived, there's a whole entourage here, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Like, I don't know if I should celebrate tall people or short people at this moment, right? But here's what I love, because God is looking for qualities that people overlook. God is looking at the heart, and he sees qualities that you didn't put there, you didn't earn, you didn't design, but he sees qualities that he actually put in there, that he put in you, that you didn't do yourself. And surely maybe even other people haven't seen, right? Nobody's seen it. Nobody's affirming it maybe, what God put in you in advance for his great purposes. But God wants to show up in your room tonight, in your dreams. There's a couple of people I felt God just encouraged me to speak about dreams and visions, because God didn't want to waste your 10 hours of sleep, and so he gives you dreams and visions so he can keep talking to you, so he can keep showing up in your life. And so there's some people tonight who are going to get some fresh vision, some fresh dreams, because God wants to speak, and he will speak through the dreams and visions. It's an old, I didn't hear from God. You think you're going to hear this, hey, Chris, this is God. Right? That's maybe not how he, for the most people, that's not how he shows up. He shows up in the scripture. He actually shows up through other people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who speak life into you and prophesy over your life too. He shows up in dreams and visions. He shows up in pictures, in daydreams even. God shows, he wants to, because he's got great purposes for you. God wants to show up in your room, in your thoughts, and in your imaginations even. He wants to reveal to you that he made you for a purpose that is beyond your wildest dreams. Sure, you may never realize it on this side of eternity, but one of these days you're actually going to look back and be like, wow, that was God who wired me for that purpose. But I'm hoping that in between here and there, you're actually going to get it a little bit more because we're talking about it. Is that okay? But when we all get to heaven, and I think sometimes we forget about this. You remember the song? But when we all, I can't even sing anymore, get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Some of you old Pentecostals in the room. When you and I get to heaven, and this is what sets Christians apart from the rest of the world, because we have a hope that's in an eternal king and an eternal kingdom. That we were designed, we know because of scripture that we were designed to live eternally, and that one day we will experience the fullness of this revelation of forever being in the presence of the living God. And when we stand before Jesus as he sits on the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, as we just finished the Olympics, and now he's going to hand out some medals and some laurel wreaths and all this beautiful stuff at the end of time as we know it, and he awards each of you for the works that you've done in your body and in his name, you will rejoice. You will experience the fullness of joy that he promised. But why wait, friends? And that's what I'm trying to encourage you in, your even in your insecurity of, I don't know if God made me, I don't know if I got all the goods, I don't know, I'm so ugly, I'm so useless, I'm not even gifted, I'm not skilled, I can't talk in public, whatever it might be. You look at yourself in the mirror and you don't think highly of yourself as God sees you. And sometimes I know at the same time we think more highly of ourselves in an ego way. That's not what I'm talking about. But seeing ourselves as God's masterpiece, you and I can actually walk in the joy of the Lord here and now. And when you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus, trusting him as your forgiver and your leader, your provider, your healer, like your banner of victory, your protector, your sustenance, your king, you can walk, friends, you can walk in the fullness and overflowing joy. Oh, friends, I wonder if there's anyone in this room that knows Jesus like I'm about to talk to you and have been talking about tonight. Why don't you just get up out of your seat for now and just do a victory dance with me? Come on. Yeah, God, I love you. Thank you so much. God, he's good. How much has he done in your life that he set you free from sin? He set you free from addiction. He's given you his word. He's given you a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. Like, what more do you need from God? I want a limo. I want a Ferrari. It's a new George. I like George too. I get it. What is it that you crave and desire? But God's saying, hey, did you know that you are my masterpiece? You are created in my image. You are beautiful. You are wired for great things, and I've got something for you to do. I've got a work for you to accomplish, purposes greater than you can ever imagine. Like this joy that I got, it doesn't come from the world, friends. It doesn't come from my parents. It didn't come from the government's handouts in my life. It didn't even come from getting a new job or getting a raise or a new car smell. No, this joy is Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, the hope of glory, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is actually living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also raise you from the dead. This is the glory that I'm looking for. This is why I'm able to lay my life down and say, God, I'm all yours. I'm all in. Whatever you call me to do, God, I'm in. I don't have enough money. I don't have all the smarts. I don't have all whatever you need. But I know you have wired me. You've called me, and I'm going to surrender my life and say, God, I'm here. Yes, Lord. In the Lord's army. I feel like a little bit like a relapsing Pentecostal tonight, like our good friend in Calgary there, but I'm getting heated tonight. I'm getting healed tonight from my insecurity. I'm getting healed from my insecurity. Why? Because he's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my sword. And he's my shield. He's my strong tower. Doubt is even fading even now in this room as we begin to recognize where my faith is beginning to be redirected, to whom my faith is being put in. It's not even in what I think it should be. It's not in all my possessions. It's not in my smartness. It's not in my money. It's not whatever we try and put our trust into sometimes in our own abilities. God says, hey, if you put your faith in me, as a forgiver and leader. My mom said, or maybe your mom said, my mom never said this. Maybe this is for you. Maybe your mom said, you'll never amount to much. Always fooling around like that. I used to drive my mom crazy, I was a drummer even when I was young. Always beating on something. My mom, quit it, you drive me crazy. I'm like, you're already there, never mind. I'm just kidding. Maybe dad told you, hey, you'll never find a good wife acting like that. Maybe your sixth grade teacher, maybe he or she said to you that you're going to have a hard time making it through university with grades like that. You even have told yourself that I'll never make the difference in the world that I live in with a body like I have. Ain't going to take me serious. Look at me. Talent like I have. Skills I have. Or now, would anyone even trust me ever again after what I just did, what I said in that relationship? I know you don't see yourself as God sees you. Many of us struggle with this. Many of us doubt that God sees us as his masterpiece. And we wrestle. This is why we wrestle with anxiety, because we don't see how God sees us. This is why we wrestle with doubts, why we wrestle with fear. And then we get all depressed and angry, insecure about our futures. You might not have been a recipient of affirmation and holy prophetic voices in your life. You've had too much demonic prophecy over you. The voices of mentors and leaders and parents and pastors, educators haven't built you up, stirred you up, and cheered you up in your faith. Not eagle faith, as Christ would do. Then it's probably that you've been listening to the wrong voice for the majority of your life. And before God, I would say this with all my heart tonight, friends. I really felt this on my heart when I was writing and preparing for this sermon tonight. That if this church even, friends, I will say this before God, and my pastoral leadership in your life is not a holy prophetic voice in your life and in this church, then I want to release you, and I would even recommend you to move on and find another church. Find a pastor that can speak life over you, who can build you up in the faith of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart to lay down my life. This is how I want to lay myself down before you and before God. Because, man, we're called to make a difference. We're called to live a life surrendered fully to God. It's not about my smartness and my abilities. And see, Samuel was kind of looking for that 6'2", tall, dark, and handsome, kind of like Denzel Washington, but God was looking more for like a Kevin Hart who wouldn't shut up. It's the difference. God looks at what others overlook. So Samuel goes on one by one looking at all the qualified candidates, and God keeps saying, nope, not that one either. Nah, nope. And then finally, the father of Jesse says, hey, wait a minute. I brought all my good stock out, but hey, there's one more, but he's just a kid. He's out minding the sheep right now, actually, taking care of, doing his chores. And Samuel says, come on, bring him in. I need to see this guy. So David shows up on the scene. You might recognize that name, David. And David is the youngest. He's the least likely. And God says, that's the one who I choose. And he calls him. He chooses him. You see, God loves to use those who are often overlooked by others. And if you've ever felt overlooked, like God couldn't use you, like I've done so many bad things in my life, I don't have any special talents in my life, I'm just a shepherd boy minding my own business, doing my chores, God, minding my daddy's hobby farm. Didn't even graduate post-secondary. Like I'm all thumbs and not very techie and still struggle from time to time with evil thoughts, anxiety, anger, and depression. Like, I actually just need some peace right now. How could I serve God? I'm kind of a hot mess. How could God trust me with his good purposes? How could God use me? Not with my past, not with what I've done. But you see, God specializes in using the unlikely, friends, to accomplish the impossible. And I want to encourage you tonight. You just need to know this. For some of you, today is the day you stop believing what others negatively have said about you. You just got to stop listening. You got to stop believing it. Just throw it away. Nix that negativity in your life and say, I'm not, la, 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 devil. Yeah. And you start believing what God says about you. You start believing that God can use you, and you start believing that God can make an incredible difference through you, and that you can serve others on a great team like at Beloved or any other team. So number one, he uses the unlikely. So if you feel like you're unlikely, God uses the unlikely, just so you know. Anyway, let's move on. If you're still taking notes, here's the second person he uses. God uses the insecure. God uses and works through those who are feeling insecure. There's another dude in the Bible. Maybe you might know him. His name is Gideon. In the book of Judges, a book in the OT, the Old Testament portion of your Bible. And his name is Gideon. And the children of Israel were caught up in sin and not living the way that was right. And God let their enemies, the Midianites, overthrow them and take them captive. This guy named Gideon, he also had some insecurities. He was afraid and he was hiding. And then this angel shows up. Boo. Appearing to him and says, hey, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. God has chosen you to rescue Israel from the Midianites. Now, I'm pretty sure if an angel showed up in your room as you are sitting there ruminating about all your insecurities and all your shortcomings, shows up and tells you that you're good, first off, you'd probably be like, who the heck is this? What happened? Who? Right? Ah! But then he says, do not be afraid. In his nice, lovely radio voice. And you'd probably be like, all right, all right, all right, all right. I think I'm good now. But that's not what happened with Gideon. In fact, his insecurities got even louder than God's affirmation in his life. Listen to me. Sometimes your insecurities are roaring louder than God's affirmation. Who have you attuned your ear to? So often like us, we second guess God's voice in our life. We ignore the words of the prophetic voice God puts in our life. And sometimes we even think that we're smarter than God somehow. Like, no way, God, I know I ain't got the goods. Gideon was insecure. In fact, Scripture puts it this way in Judges 6:15, as we have for you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of men. Like, God, I'm nobody. And even my family's nobody. And I'm the least, I'm even the youngest in my entire family. Like, at least pick my brother. He's got bigger biceps than me. Sounds like our home sometimes. But Mom! You see, for some of you today, God is going to call you. And he's going to start to stir something up on the inside of you. And he's going to move you to actually do something. He's going to call you to serve in his great church. Maybe he's going to call you to be a witness at work or at school. And he's going to call you to share your faith with somebody else in your life that got planted there. But you're going to say, but Lord. And then you're going to tell him all the reasons why that you shouldn't be you. Don't pick me, God. I've got some secret addictions going on. I don't even get along with my mom right now, God. I've been binging on food to stuff away all my anxiety. Have you seen my bank account? Like, surely you got the wrong guy. I don't think I qualify for what you're asking me to do, God. Some of you have been there. I've been there in my life. And that's what happens whenever God calls you. The devil's going to try and stop you. See, one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses in our life is to attack your self-worth. He's going to tell you, who do you think you are? You're not ready. You don't belong here. You're not good enough. Think about it. If God didn't really want to use you, why is the devil after you? Why is he up in your grill telling you whatever you ain't going to amount to much? So I may not feel like I'm the right person for the job, and then I remember, ain't nobody that godly anyhow. We all messed up. We all have our faults and failures in this room, right? And yet God called me, and because of God's favor and his grace in my life, I can stand on this platform tonight and I can deliver a message that says, hey, if God can use someone like me, friends, with my inadequacies, with my insecurities, if he can use me, he can absolutely use you too to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in you and through your life. And he wants to use you. He wants to work through you. And here's what I want you to know. You got to stop thinking that you are smarter than God. You just got to stop that. I know you may not have a lot of confidence in yourself. Good, good. Because, see, the truth is that the word confidence actually comes from the Latin word confide. And con means with, and fide means faith. Having confidence doesn't mean you believe in yourself. But here's a slide for you. I want you to write this down. Real confidence is when you put your faith and what God says about you. Some of you need some confide, some faith in someone else, in God himself who's created you, and put some confidence in what God says. You, look, you're my masterpiece. I designed you, I made you, and I wired you, I hotwired you for some great things in this earth. You've been created with talents and gifts to be used in God's great church and in the world around you. And some of them have been hidden and you've been sitting in the background or on the bench watching others have an incredible time in the game. And it's just simply time to get up and to get off the bench and to get back in the game. And let's kick some butt together. And here's what I need you to understand. Serving God is not meant to be done alone. You need two things. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, and you need the help of God's people. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, and you need the help of God's people. There is a need in this church that needs you to be filled with you. And you got to pick up your tools. You got to join the team, baby. You got to get plugged in and start using your gifts. You see what the gifts of this Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are just manifestations of the Spirit of God in you. Right? And look, some of you have some great talents and skills, and you're great with kids, and maybe you're great with students, or maybe you're great with numbers. You're one of those number crunchers and data, or maybe you're great with technology, and you're not using your gifts to move God's great church forward. And it's just simply time to join the team. And if you're not serving, then that means there's something in the church that's not actually being done. And we know that we are part of God's great church, and he has plans and purposes for each one of us as part of his body in this time period and in this city with this great group of people. And he will and we will love you. I know we will love you, and we will help you, and we'll coach you. And there's nothing greater than being on the team, serving God's great mission, serving God's city here, serving God's great church. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of. Serving, giving, and loving like Jesus with people that you love. So it's time. Gideon said, I'm the least, I'm no good, I can't do it. And here's the thing. Gideon was about to recognize that God often uses the least to do the most. So God uses the unlikely, he uses the insecure. And the third one, here's the third one for you. I'm almost done wrapping up here tonight. Number three, God uses failures. He uses failures. Let me show you a powerful example in the scripture. Last week, we talked about Peter and how he doubted Jesus and how he betrayed Jesus. And if you missed last week's message, I really encourage you to go back and watch that message. It's a powerful, powerful message. And this week, I want to focus on a different person, different disciple. So after Jesus was crucified, the Jewish leaders thought that they had eliminated the threat that Jesus was to their religion, by the way. But the disciples and other Christ followers began to share the good news of Jesus. Like they were, it was prolific. They were like, come, you got to follow Jesus. Like Jesus has changed my life. And people continued to turn their lives to Christ to follow him. And this led to persecution and even the execution of the apostles and disciples. And one of those, his name was Stephen. And as Stephen was being stoned to death, Saul, a young man, was standing there watching this happen. In Acts 7:57, pick up the story. At this, they covered their ears. So Stephen was preaching the gospel, and they covered their covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coat at the feet of a young man named Saul, and Saul is who I'm highlighting here. Jumping over to chapter 8, verses 1 says, and Saul approved of their killing him. This is Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. He was trying to dismantle these Jesus followers, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Here's what you need to know about Saul. The whole time, Saul actually thought that he was serving God by persecuting believers. So Saul goes on to have this experience and an encounter with Jesus where his life is completely transformed. And he recognizes that he's actually failed at serving God in that moment. He changes his life around and he turns around, and then his name actually becomes Paul. They say Paul in the Greek. And he begins to tell everyone that he's run into about Jesus. Like, Jesus, this guy, he was just killing everybody who believed in. Now I'm radically been converted to follow Jesus. And Paul goes on to be beaten, persecuted, to be put in prison, and ultimately exiled because of his faith. And throughout all of it, he constantly remembers his falling short of God's standard. I wonder if you've ever blown it. Have you ever blown it big time? Have you done things that you're embarrassed of, that you're ashamed of? Do you ever feel unworthy to be used by God? It might have been a big public mistake that you made, or a big public failure, maybe where you lost your temper, or you said something maybe that you shouldn't have said. Maybe you made some bad financial decisions, or you lied to someone and hurt someone really special to you. Maybe you battled addiction or betrayed your family, or maybe you've crushed those who have loved you so dearly. Maybe it's a private failure. Have you ever blown it? Maybe it's a secret addiction. Maybe it's something that you did or that you said and you didn't get caught, but it weighs heavily on your heart every single day. Or maybe this is you. Maybe you've just been running from God's call in your life. And you feel that failure. Paul killed and persecuted Christians. And yet he went on to be a major part of building the church, even writing 13 books of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:9 says this. This is Paul speaking now. Look how he remembers how God uses failures. He says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. The church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Who better to preach about forgiveness than someone who's been forgiven of so much? You see, God uses those who have failed, friends. He uses people who fail because there aren't, honestly, any other kind around. We all fail. We all fall short. We do. And you got to remember when you look at scripture, like think about this. Okay, Jacob, he was a cheater. Moses was a murderer. David had an affair. Jonah ran from God. Elijah was grossly depressed. God used him too. Miriam, man, she was the gossiper of the day. She was also always gossiping, blah, 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 right? And here's the thing. Time after time, when you look at scriptures, people failed God, and yet God chose to use them. God chose to show up and work in their life and work through them. Listen, what can God do with your single act of obedience tonight? Man, I know he can change a family. I don't know what's going on up in your home. He can change a workplace, can change an entire church, can change a whole city. I know you might be feeling insecure, just like I've wrestled with insecurity in my life too. Maybe you feel unlikely or too bad to serve in God's great church, and the devil will always tell you why you can't make a difference. But God will tell you, in Christ, you can, but God. So here's the thing, you just got to remember. Stop thinking about who others say you are. Stop thinking about who you say you are. Remember who God says you are. And what did he say when we started off tonight? You are my masterpiece. You are my workmanship. You are his masterpiece. And he created you to do great works, friends. He prepared them for you in advance. And it's time for you just to step up and step in and to start doing the work that God has called you to do and God has put in your life. So stop doubting yourself. Stop doubting yourself, because when you doubt yourself, you're actually doubting God and the creator of the universe who created you. You are not what you did. You are not what they might have done to you. Today, you are his masterpiece. Created for the good works that he prepared for you in advance. So right where you are tonight, no one moving around, just for a moment. Let's be a holy moment for just a couple minutes. We go to you in prayer, God. We need you tonight. We all need you. We need to recognize that you've created us for great things, God. Despite our insecurities. And I know we've doubted you and doubted how special and how wonderfully created we are. The purposes that you created us for, because of our insecurities and often because we listen to the wrong voice. So God, we thank you so much for your love and for your faithfulness in this room. God, we thank you that you use people to do incredible things for your kingdom. And if you would just remain in a posture of prayer just for a moment. And if, as we pray today, if you're here and you'd say, you know what? I want to be used by God in a powerful way. I want to be used by him in some capacity. I don't want to just live a life of spectating, but I want to participate in God's great mission. If that's you tonight, eyes closed, heads bowed, would you just boldly raise your hand, because I want to pray for you tonight. That's me, Jesus. Yes, hands all the way on the room. Thank you, God. I want to be boldly used by you, God. Thank you, hands everywhere. God, thank you for stirring hearts tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to be used by you, God. God, I thank you for every person that's raised their hands, stepping into this saying, today I choose to be used by you, God. Despite my insecurities, I've learned that I'm your masterpiece, created for good works. And as we continue praying, there are those of you that perhaps you're thinking about your life and maybe thinking about your failures even right now. And if you and I were to sit down and actually talk about your life and I asked you, where do you stand with God? Some of you probably would hesitate, or maybe you'd give me some thoughts about it. But if you were really honest, you might recognize and begin to realize that you don't feel very close to God, that you're not serving him, let alone walking with him. And I want you to know something. This is so important, friends. God loves you so much that no matter what you've done, no matter your failures, no matter your sins, he's calling you right now. He's calling you today. And what you're sensing in this moment is the Holy Spirit drawing you towards him. See, friends, the Bible is clear that all of us have sinned. We all have fallen short of God's standard, that sin separates us from a holy God. And yet God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a sinless life and to die on a cross so that you and I could be forgiven. But guess what? He didn't stay dead. After 3 days, he rose from the dead so that you and I could have new life in Christ. And for some of you here in the room, or some of you online, for many of you, this is your moment that God has brought you to. A moment to surrender to him, to turn away from your sins, to turn towards Christ and say, God, I am surrendering my life to you. So if that's you tonight and you say, today, I need Jesus, and you're saying, I want to turn from my sin. I want to give him my life. I receive his forgiveness and his grace. If that's you, I want you to boldly raise your hand up right now and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. All my life. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thanks, Jesus. Anyone else say, yes, that's me. I'll give my life to you, God. Thank you. I receive your forgiveness and your grace, God. Thanks, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. God, I surrender my life to you. I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. We're celebrating with you tonight. Church family, would you help me pray out loud like this? Say, Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I surrender my heart. Forgive me my sins and make me new. Today I declare that Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, would somebody go crazy just for 2 seconds celebrating new life in Christ today? Amen.